The men who wrote the Constitution did remarkably well, considering the absence of female guidance. That's a quote from our guest next hour, Secretary of State, former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. She'll be with us to talk about her new book, Memo to the President-Elect. Hi, I'm Veronica Rickard. I'm in today for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I want to take a moment now to say that we wish Kathleen Dunn all the best as she is at home recovering from heart surgery, and we're hopeful that we'll have her back very soon, maybe next week, since the prognosis is good. And as you heard, if you listened to Kathleen when she called in last Friday, she's sounding strong and very good. So we look forward to having her back on the air. In the meantime, it is our winter membership drive, and I'm joined in the studio by Michael Leland, Director of News here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Thanks. It's good to have you here, and glad that you're with us this morning as well to support Wisconsin Public Radio. We're looking for $9,000 as far as goals go this hour. Last hour, we heard from 16 of you, so thank you to you who called and made last hour a success. You can get us rolling toward $9,000 at 1-800-383-9772. You can always pledge online, too, if that's easier for you, at WPR.org.
800-383-9772, the number to call, WPR.org. You're going to want to call in now, because I'm guessing if you're listening right now, you probably want to hear what Madeleine Albright has to say and some of the ideas she has, advice that she will pass on to the next president-elect, and a chance for us to talk to her a little bit about some of her thoughts that went into this book, Memo to the President-Elect. You can take care of the business of supporting this program and others like it by calling us now at 800-383-9772 or by pledging online at WPR.org. You'll know that you have done your part for Wisconsin Public Radio, for a radio station that you listen to every day, and you'll be done with it before we bring in Madeleine Albright. So take care of that bit of business now. Help us whittle down this $9,000 goal. By the way, I don't have the papers with me, but we have a challenge grant this hour.
We do.
We have. They're sitting on my desk, and I'll bring them in later. But we have a $1,000 challenge grant. So for the first $1,000 to come in at 800-383-9772, that will be matched when we raise that $1,000. So we can tell you a little bit more about it later. But that's the way these things work. Your pledges of support equaling $1,000 will get us another $1,000 this hour at 800-383-9772, online at WPR.org.
1-800-383-9772 is that number to call. And I was thinking about the prospect of speaking with Madeleine Albright next hour, or this hour, I should say, coming up in a few minutes here. And she really has had an extraordinary life. And the beauty of having her on Wisconsin Public Radio and people like her that you hear throughout the year and on Wisconsin Public Radio is that she makes your life extraordinary as well. I mean, most of us, we get up, we go to work, and we don't get a chance to always talk to somebody like that. But here she is on Wisconsin Public Radio. And I think that's extraordinary. And it's a chance to take our lives sort of out of the workaday world and really talk about the biggest ideas that are out there right now. What's most important to you, what people really care about, and the movers and shakers in the world. It really takes what could be an ordinary day into extraordinary. And that's worth a pledge of financial support this hour. 1-800-383-9772. If you're going to be tuning in to listen to Madeleine Albright, if you'd like to speak with her and ask her a question on the telephone, why not support her and Wisconsin Public Radio with that pledge this morning to say thank you for the chance to talk to a former Secretary of State at 1-800-383-9772 or pledge online WPR.org. It's quick and it's easy. It's not going to take very long and you're going to feel good about it.
I think this is an example of the breadth of topics that you get here on the Ideas Network. This hour, we're talking to Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State, about world and national affairs. Last hour, we talked about fewer people over time or have spending time in the outdoors. Kathleen on Monday talks about politics. Joy on Friday morning has the week in review. A chance for you to explore a lot of issues, some of them very serious, some of them a little bit lighter, but all of them issues that in some way affect you and your life and us here in Wisconsin. That's worth listening to. And you've made that decision because you're listening now on this Tuesday morning here in Wisconsin. But know that it's possible because so many of you have decided to support it. So if you're not among them, we ask you to join them now and support a station you listen to probably every day and get so much from, whether it's information or companionship. It's worth your time. You've made that decision. Make it worth your dollars as well. Give us a call, 800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
And we have a special thank you gift. When you pledge at the $150 level, we'll be happy to send you Madeleine Albright's new book, Memo to the President-Elect, How We Can Restore America's Reputation and Leadership. The number to call is 1-800-383-9772. Thank you for that call. And Michael, thank you.
Thank you.
We are joined now by former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. And Madeleine Albright, it's a real honor to talk to you this morning.
Well, it's a great pleasure to talk to you.
I want to start with a quote I found in your book that I thought was pretty compelling. You have said, "We aren't afraid of the truth, and we are more willing to make sacrifices than we ordinarily let on. We don't think it fair to have soldiers die while nothing more is asked of us than to stand in line at the airport. We don't believe we were put on Earth just to drive SUVs, putt, watch TV, and eat Happy Meals. We want to be proud of our country and would like to do our part." That's you talking to the next president of the United States, talking about what the American people are capable of and what we want and how we should be talked to by the next president of the United States. What is it that you think Americans are capable of that perhaps we're not being asked of right now?
Well, I think that Americans are very patriotic and very earnest about wanting to make clear that we think we are good and generous people, and that it should not just be up to our military to be out there, but that we all need to be a part of it. And I think a lot of people were frankly kind of put off by the fact that after 9/11, we were mostly asked to go out and shop. And I think that we are capable of more. And the quote that you're talking about is, I really am saying to the next president that person has to give us confidence and not operate on the basis of fear all the time. And that in the inaugural speech, that this is kind of part of a riff that I do at the book, saying when you first stand up behind the seal of the President of the United States, let us know about what we can do to support you and support the country. Because I do think people are capable of much more than they're being asked. We're not a selfish group of people, nor really oblivious to what is going on in the rest of the world or in our own country.
Well, you got the idea for this book at the funeral of Gerald Ford. Can you tell us about how Memo to the President-Elect came to be?
Well, what happened was I did go to the funeral, and it was in the majestic Washington National Cathedral. And as we sat and waited, all the former presidents came in, and the current president came in. And then as the service progressed and people talked about what kind of a president Gerald Ford was, I thought to myself about what is the American presidency about, with all these leaders sitting there, and how each one of them had viewed the power of the presidency and its possibilities as well as its limits. So that was the genesis of it. But I teach at Georgetown at the School of Foreign Service, and I teach a course about how foreign policy decisions are made and what tools the president has in order to bring about the policies he or she wants. So that also formed a part of it. And then really talking about the issues that are out there that the next president's going to face, because I do think that this is going to be one of the hardest presidencies that we've ever seen.
Well, it really was a compelling read, especially the form of a memo. And you talk about it as being kind of like what you would call a night memo, a confidential memo that maybe was sent after the day's messages were over and done with. And it really does feel as though you're stepping inside and talking confidentially. Do you expect this book to make it into the hands of the next president of the United States?
I hope so, because it's written for either party or either gender. But the thing about this really is, you know, it is written in the style of for the president to read on election night. On the other hand, it's out now. So it's basically for the American people to use a little bit, I would hope, as a framework for the discussion of the national security issues. And, to give people an idea about what kind of a person they want to select, how hard the job is. So I do hope it'll get into the hands of the next president, but it's really for the American public. And can I make a, I heard you talk about the pledging,
mm-hmm.
and that you're going to give my book for $150
that's
pledge.
That's right, that's right.
Well, I'll tell you what, I will sign every book that gives you a $500 pledge.
Wow, that's so very generous. Thank you so much.
I'll put a personal inscription in it if you let me know. And I personally would like to pledge to you also, and I'll, if somebody calls me afterwards, I'll give them all the details.
Oh, heavens. Thank you so much. Yes. You've been very, very kind. We appreciate that. And, of course, we appreciate every call, but we appreciate your generosity. Yes. That's fantastic. And I want to go back to your book because it is a fantastic book. And, of course, even more so now that it's going to be signed for a $500 pledge. But you quote surveys in your book which find that most people in most countries believe now that America provokes more conflicts than it prevents, and that the U.S. has a mainly negative influence on the world. And that's clearly a world away from, say, FDR's America. And what would you say has been lost in terms of our stature abroad and at home?
You know, so much, because, I mean, I was not born in the United States. I came here when I was 11 years old. And so for me and for so many people, it's an exceptional country. And we look to America as an example of all kinds of things, human rights, the rule of law, a way of setting some kind of international norms. And that's all, that is what has really happened. And for people my age or maybe a little bit younger, if you said America, they would think of Omaha Beach or the Marshall Plan. And now, so much of the world is young, and if you say America, they think Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo. So what has been lost is that sense that we are special, and you know, whether you read it in the Bible or Batman, to whom much is given, much is expected. And that, to a great extent, I think, has hurt us. Now, I know there are people listening that would say, well, who cares if we are popular or not? I think that we should care, because that's the only way to make America safe, is if we operate with other countries to deal with the huge problems that are out there awaiting the next president.
Well, you're talking in a way about regaining moral legitimacy, which takes a long time to earn. And I'm wondering if you think that that right to lead, the moral legitimacy, can be restored within a term or two of a president, or has the world in this time sort of shifted its balance to realign without us?
Well, I think it's not going to be easy, because, you know, a reputation lost is very hard to regain. I think there will be a honeymoon in many ways, a short one, when the new president comes in. And even, you know, presuming that it's Senator McCain becomes president, he is opposed, for instance, to torture, which is one of the things that has really damaged our reputation. So it will be very helpful to have a different face and a different policy. But I do think that the world has reorganized in many different ways. But I don't think we should see that as something that undermines the concept that America can still be a very special country, but we have to do it in partnership with others. President Clinton said it first, but I said it so often it became identified with me, that we're the indispensable nation. There's nothing about the definition of indispensable that says alone. It just means that the U.S. needs to be engaged in policies such as doing something about global warming or restoring the good name of democracy or dealing with the proliferation of nuclear weapons. But I think we need to do it in partnership with other countries, and that will be different.
Well, you said a few moments ago also that the next president of the United States, you're projecting that that person is going to have an incredibly difficult time, maybe more so than other presidents coming into office. What makes you say that?
Well, because I think, first of all, because we are in such bad shape in terms of our reputation. Second, because we have a deficit in our budget, our military that has been so brave and great in both Iraq and Afghanistan is overstretched, and the veterans coming home have to be, those that are sick need to be treated, and those who lost their jobs need to find them. Also because we are going to be dealing with a host of issues that have not been dealt with. I mean, energy, security, the global warming issue, and at the same time, what is very difficult, there are so many things that have to be done, ending the war in Iraq, fighting the war in Afghanistan, that setting priorities is going to be the hard part for the next president.
We're talking this hour with former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. Her new book is called Memo to the President-Elect, and we are speaking with her in the midst of our winter membership drive. We have a thank you gift to you when you pledge at the $500 level. Madeleine Albright has generously offered to sign the book that is sent out to you at the $500 level. If you prefer to pledge at the $150 level, we will send you a copy of her book along with our member benefit card. But that number to call is 1-800-383-9772. The number to call to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio, 1-800-383-9772. When we come back, we'll have more conversation with Secretary Albright. She said she is an optimist who worries a lot. We'll find out what worries her the most when we come back and take your calls as well at 1-800-642-1234. The number to call to talk to Secretary Albright is 1-800-642-1234. I'm Veronica Rickert, in for Kathleen Dunn, on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. There's a lot to look forward to here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up at 12:30, stay tuned for Chapter a Day, as Jim Fleming reads from American Creation, Triumphs and Tragedies at the Founding of the Republic, by Joseph J. Ellis. Veronica Rickert, back with you. I'm in today for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're joined this hour by former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, whose new book is called Memo to the President-Elect. And I want to make sure you know that she has made a very generous offer to us in support of Wisconsin Public Radio. She has offered to add a personal inscription to the book, Memo to the President-Elect, when you pledge at the $500 level. A very generous offer from Secretary Albright and something to treasure, you know, through the generations. It's a fabulous book. The number to call to ask for that thank you gift is 1-800-383-9772. We thank you for that call, and we thank you for becoming a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. And Secretary Albright, you have said in your book that you are an optimist who worries a lot, which I can imagine is maybe true of many secretaries of state. But tell me, what worries you the most as you look at the future?
Well, I think what worries me is that the issues out there are not simple, and they will require a long-term kind of sustained interest. And we have a tendency, I think Americans are incredibly generous, but we have kind of a short attention span, and we want to check things off. And if you look at the problems out in the world, they are the kind that often need to be managed for a length of time and require some sustained interest, and that's what worries me. But I am an optimist because this is such a can-do country, and it is such a group of people who want to resolve issues and have creativity and humanity, but it's going to take a lot of work, and we're not going to see immediate results. Veronica, you mentioned this earlier yourself, is that the problems are deep, and they take a while to resolve.
And you give advice in your book to the next president about resolving those problems, especially over the long term. And, of course, one of the issues that is hugely pressing in foreign policy right now is the war in Iraq. And you've described this very powerfully as an assault against terror that strengthened terror, a demonstration of American power that exposed the limits of that power. And I think when the next president looks at Iraq, none of the options seem incredibly appealing right now. What do you see as the right direction for the U.S. to move in towards the war in Iraq?
Well, I think the hardest part is that there are no good options. And I have, in addition to the quote you read, also said that I'm afraid it's going to go down in history as the greatest disaster in American foreign policy, which means that I think it's worse than Vietnam, and clearly not in terms of the numbers of Americans who were killed or Vietnamese versus Iraqis, but in terms of all the consequences. So inside Iraq, we are seeing a chaotic situation and insurgencies, and whether one calls it a civil war or not, but clearly sides fighting each other. And while our military has done an incredible job there's no military solution to this. It has to be political. So the question is how the next president and the international community will help in resolving that. I also, so the options, as far as I can see, are that our forces have to leave. And they have to leave in some kind of an organized fashion, and there has to be a surge in diplomacy. Because the Iraqi defense minister a couple of weeks ago made a statement that just stunned me, which was that the U.S. would have to stay until 2018, primarily because he was worried about the porous borders. And that requires cooperation with the neighboring countries, which requires a diplomatic approach to this. And that leads to deciding that we have to deal with Iran on a whole host of issues, because I think it's a dangerous place, and we have to be able to have a dialogue with them. We have to make peace with our enemies, not with our friends. So they're not great options, but I do think that we have to figure out a way to begin getting the troops out, have a diplomatic surge, and get help on reconstructing Iraq from other countries in the world and deal with the huge refugee problem.
Well, one of the options you also put on the table in terms of Iraq is sort of separating into sort of informal geographic regions, Sunnis, Shiites, and Kurds. And I'm wondering how dangerous an option you think that is when we look at maybe the Balkan states or the partition of India and Pakistan, when we start separating out ethnic regions like that. Isn't that a dangerous option?
Well, I specifically am not for the partition of Iraq for the very reasons that you're talking about, because if there were an independent Kurdistan, for instance, it would create all kinds of problems with Turkey. What I'm suggesting is that there be more autonomy given to those regions to deal with some of their economic issues and some of their political issues. But, in fact, to have a central government that would try to figure out how to divide up the oil revenue, deal with some of the defense aspects. But it's unrealistic. Iraq is a totally artificial country, created after the end of World War One by the British. And so there are a lot of questions about how it hangs together. And so this is actually an idea. Senator Biden used to talk about this, is how to give local autonomy to these regions in order to keep the country together, not in order to have it fall apart.
Talking this hour with former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, and we want to get your calls in, too, at the number 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can ask Secretary Albright about the position she would take regarding China, Iran, Al-Qaeda, and terrorism, what it takes to appoint a successful cabinet for the next president. So do give us a call, and enjoy your opportunity to speak to Madeleine Albright at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And we have a call now from Paul in La Crosse. Hi, Paul. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yesterday, the New York Times reported on a declassified report from the RAND Corporation on post-war Iraq. The report was quite critical. It was buried by the Pentagon, because the Pentagon said it, you know, it didn't just talk about the army, it went way off the base. And it was quite critical of Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and the fact that the State Department did not play a big role in setting up the post-Iraq scenario or the occupation. I was wondering, given the time that you had in office in a similar position, how would you evaluate the role of Condoleezza Rice in the Iraq situation and in the Middle East?
Well, Paul, thanks for asking that. Let me just say this, is that I try not to criticize the Secretary of State who is in office. I do think that one of the things I talk about in my book is what it's like within the national security decision-making system and the problems specifically between the State Department and the Defense Department. I say there are kind of natural enemies until they decide they unite because they don't like the National Security Advisor. But what happened here, frankly, is that all of this started to happen when during the first term And there were arguments that went on between state and defense over who would do a lot of the reconstruction and the so-called democracy work. And frankly, it was a battle that Secretary Rumsfeld won over Secretary Powell, the State Department was kind of sidelined. And what has happened is that the state that more and more of the kind of post-invasion parts of the job in any country is now being taken over by the Defense Department, which I think is truly unfortunate because a lot of the kind of work needs to be done by the State Department. And I think that it's it shows some of the genuine problems in the decision-making process of the first Bush administration, where frankly they didn't even have a meeting in order to decide whether to go to war or not.
Well, and you talk in your book about how President Bill Clinton used to go through and make his foreign policy decisions, and you talk in particular about how he used to call you in the middle of the night because he didn't sleep much and didn't imagine other people would be sleeping. And he called you up one night, and you went over your agreed upon plan in Kosovo, and you talk about going through it just with a fine-tooth comb, step by step, the outcome, the rationale, all of that. What do you think a new president can take away from that kind of process?
Well, I have talked about the fact of what kind of a president you want, whether you want a confident president or a certain president. And I say that I would prefer a confident president because that's the kind of a president that elicits a lot of different opinions. We would, for instance, meet in the Oval Office, the small decision-making group, and President Clinton would ask each of us what our opinion was on a particular subject, and then he would ask more questions, and we would disagree, and we would go through things with a fine-tooth comb, and there was not at all a sense that he didn't want to hear more ideas. And so, you want a president who has basic ideas and principles, but who's confident enough to listen to every idea and to look at what the negative outcome of the decision could be and what were the trade-offs. Instead of a president who is totally certain about everything and only wants people around who say, yes, sir, yes, sir. And I think that's what I take away from this.
We'll go back to the phones now, and here's a call from Anne in Madison. Hi, Anne, you're on the air.
Hi, I wanted to ask Secretary Albright what she thought about the trial or coming trial announced by Mr. Bush yesterday of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and Mohammed al-Qahtani and four other detainees at Guantanamo Bay for years. He announced they would be tried as a group by these military commissions, which so many people consider kangaroo courts, with evidence that was derived with torture and hearsay evidence and no right to a jury trial, journalists only allowed at the trials selectively, and military panels that, as Michael Ratner said, owe their jobs to the Bush administration. To me, besides torture, the destruction of the Constitution or the attempted destruction of it by the Bush administration is absolutely the most atrocious thing they've done. And I wonder if you would comment on this coming group trial for which the Bush administration is seeking the death penalty for all of them.
Well, I think you've described the problem very, very well, with all the downsides of it and what it has done to the rule of habeas corpus and just generally the way that the military commissions were set up, everything that you have said. And it goes into the larger problem that we have, and that is that the Bush administration has been operating on the fear factor. And as a result of that, I think that there really has been a derogation of our civil liberties and the whole constitutional structure as you describe it. It is of concern. And the next president of the United States has to make very clear that this is not the approach that he or she will take, that we have to one of the things in my book, I talk about how this book is about restoring America's leadership and reputation. Our reputation has been damaged by exactly this kind of procedure, as well as I said earlier, just saying Guantanamo Bay brings up all these questions for the people of the world when we talk about the importance of rule of law and say to other countries that torture is unacceptable or that their human rights records are bad. So I am very concerned, and you have framed it very, very well.
So you're watching what happens closely there.
Absolutely. I think we're going to have to, and I think that this is going to be something that will elicit all kinds of comments that I think should be a part of the presidential campaign. Now, what is interesting is that if Senator McCain is the Republican, which it certainly looks like, he has himself expressed his problems with using torture.
Thank you for that call, Ann. And let's go on and take one from Wayne in Holman. Hi, Wayne, you're on the air.
Well, thank you very much. Madeleine Albright, thank you for your service to this great country.
I loved every minute. I was honored. Thank you, Wayne.
Now, sadly, you and I probably don't agree on a lot of things that I've currently heard. But I guess I want to ask you, when you use hindsight, what do your thoughts now after the Rwanda debacle? Do you feel that you and Bill Clinton did the appropriate thing in kind of turning in a different direction when that butchery was going on? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was talking about that issue just again today because it is always on everybody's mind. And it is something that both President Clinton and I have said was something that never should have happened, that the American reaction was the wrong reaction. I was ambassador at the UN at the time. It's very important to understand what the context was when all this happened. We had just lost troops in Somalia. The helicopter had gone down. American troops were dragged through the streets. We were having issues in Haiti of our aircraft carrier, the Harlan County, being turned around, and troops in Bosnia, and generally kind of trying to figure out how we supported peacekeeping operations. The real problem, and people have trouble believing this, but it's the truth, is that we actually did not have good information on what was going on there. And it was what I call volcanic genocide that happened after the plane of the Rwandan president was shot down. And while in retrospect there seems to have been information, it didn't reach the highest circles. And I think that's something that needs to be looked at. But whatever, I think we all feel that we should have done something more. My problem is that I don't think we could have gotten troops there quickly enough to make a difference. And you look now at what I call rolling genocide in Darfur, and you can see that it's taken now more than 5 years, and still nothing is being done there. So these are difficult issues, but the Rwanda one definitely weighs very heavy on our souls.
Secretary Albright, you've had an extraordinary career, an extraordinary life, and you've helped make decisions that have impacted millions of people. When you talk about regretting something like Rwanda, even though in retrospect it may be that you didn't have the right options to do what you would have liked to do, what does it mean when you say you have regret?
Well, I think it means everybody has different approaches. I, unfortunately, am one of these people that never leaves a decision alone. I keep going over everything. I know it's probably not wise decision-making management, but you try to figure out what you could have done differently, and then you try to apply the lessons to something else. And you know, part of the question always is, why do you apply it to a different country? But you don't often have the same opportunities. And so I felt, for instance, that we had been too slow in helping in Bosnia. And so when I was Secretary of State, I was bound and determined that we would do everything we could to stop ethnic cleansing in Kosovo. And we did manage to do that. So the lessons learned out of something that did not quite work, that you regret, you try to figure out what went wrong and can you make a difference in some other place. It doesn't always justify, you know, change the situation in the place where the original mistake was made, but I think you do have to draw lessons out of your regrets.
We're talking this hour with former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. Her most recent book is called Memo to the President-Elect, How We Can Restore America's Reputation and Leadership. If you'd like to be part of this conversation with your question or comment for Madeleine Albright, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. I'm Veronica Rickard, in today for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up at 12:30, join us for Chapter a Day. At half past noon on Chapter a Day, Jim Fleming reads from American Creation, Triumphs and Tragedies at the Founding of the Republic by Joseph J. Ellis. And then at 1 o'clock, join us for Talk of the Nation. Talking this hour with former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright about her new book, Memo to the President-Elect. And Secretary Albright, you've been a supporter and friend of Senator Hillary Clinton, and you've appeared with her at some of the rallies. I wonder if you wrote this book in the hopes that it would reach the hand of a Democratic president, perhaps Senator Clinton, or whether you think the goals for America you talk about are attainable, just as attainable maybe, for a Republican president.
Well, it was written for either party and or either gender, because I do think that we need to take a different approach to the problems of the world. But, you know, writing it as a memo to the president to be read election night was a little bit of a contrivance, obviously, because it's out now. And so the book is really for your listeners and for American voters so that they understand how the presidency works and also what the issues are going to be facing the next president. And that this is going to be an incredibly difficult presidency, and that I hope very much that it kind of elicits a lot of questions, that people take a look at the issues that I have raised and understand what their background of the issues are, how they fit together, how the system of decision-making works, and why you want a president, as I said earlier, who's confident and then gives us confidence, because we can't operate out of fear all the time, but we do have huge problems.
We'll take one more call now from Michael in Kenosha. Hi, Michael. Thanks for calling.
Good morning.
Morning.
Secretary Albright, thank you for being on public radio this morning. I'm looking forward to reading your book.
Thanks, Michael.
One of the things that disappoints me about a lot of the press coverage that we get is we keep hearing about the visions that the different candidates have for America, but we're not getting a lot of insights into what I think may have been President Bush's big shortcoming, which is making decisions and making correct and timely decisions. Do you have any insights into, or are you willing to share any insights into, decision-making capabilities of the different candidates, since we don't have anyone who's been, for example, a governor who's had a significant amount of administrative leadership experience, or any insights into the kinds of questions we should be asking of the different candidates?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because the first part of the book really deals with how decision makes takes place within the White House, and how what kind of people you want around you. Now, I am supporting Senator Clinton, and I for a number of reasons, but one is because I know how she makes decisions and how she operates in terms of what I think is so important that did not take place in this White House, is seeking different people's views and listening to them and integrating them into what has to be America's policy in the long term, but spending the time and going through very carefully. I think that there are a variety of experiences that provide people with decision-making experience, and people have different ways that they get that. But for me, I do think that watching somebody in terms of how they collect the information, analyze it, and bring it together and make a decision is very important. I also think, and I hope, you know, this is a long campaign and will continue for some time in terms of debates and town hall meetings and various things. And I think that our voters need to be asking the kind of questions you're asking instead of just kind of looking for generalized statements. We have the luxury now of time of really drilling down and asking exactly the kinds of questions you ask. I know people say that governors have a different kind of experience. We're about to see one, you know, no matter what, two senators running, and they have very different approaches to this.
Well, thank you for that call, Michael. And Secretary Albright, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a real pleasure to talk with you, and we appreciate your generosity to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, I'm delighted, and we will get those signatures, and I will call in with my details very soon. Thank you so much. I enjoyed the show very much, Veronica.
Thank you so much, and have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We've been talking with former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. Secretary Albright served on the National Security Council and as U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. Currently, she teaches at the Georgetown School of Foreign Service. Her most recent book is called Memo to the President-Elect, How We Can Restore America's Reputation and Leadership. It was released January of 2008. Veronica Rickert here in the studio with Michael Leland, Wisconsin Public Radio's news director, during our winter membership drive. And Michael, I don't know if you were listening as you were out of the studio here, but Secretary Albright made us a very generous offer. She supports Wisconsin Public Radio. Mm-hmm. And she has said that when you pledge with $500 to Wisconsin Public Radio during this hour, we will not only send you a copy of that new book called Memo to the President-Elect, but she will personally sign it and send it back to you. So
that is great.
That's a fantastic thing of her to offer, and we're very grateful for that. So if you'd like a copy of Madeleine Albright's book with a personal signature in there as well, pledge at the $500 level right now, and we'll be happy to send that out to you. And so grateful for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio for programs that feature luminous voices like Madeleine Albright or Maya Angelou, Alice Walker, Alan Alda. Whatever the reason that you're pledging to Wisconsin Public Radio, we'd like to hear from you this hour at 1-800-383-9772. Or you can pledge online at WPR.org.
800-383-9772, the number to call, online, WPR.org. We're about halfway to this hour's goal, about $5,000 remaining, and that is 10 of you deciding that you would like a signed book by Madeleine Albright. 10 of you making that decision, calling us, talking to the volunteer, saying, yeah, I'd not only like the book, I'd like it signed. Your pledge of $500, 10 of you will get us there. But any amount is welcome. You decide how much you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio and how much the service means to you, and certainly how it works into your budget. And then you make that phone call, and all of us working together will count down this hour's goal. But less than 10 minutes to do it, so time's a-wasting. 800-383-9772 or online at WPR.org.
And also joining us here in the studio, now that she's said goodbye to Secretary Albright, is Rhonda Fanning. And Rhonda, you produced that hour. What was it like to produce an hour and to know that you were bringing someone like Secretary Albright to the airwaves of Wisconsin Public Radio?
I guess it feels good, but it's just indicative of all the conversations that we have here on Wisconsin Public Radio. It was Secretary Albright, but she was happy to do it. She is a huge supporter, as, you know, she demonstrated on the air today, of public radio. It's so easy. People, you know, line up to be a guest on one of our great, great talk shows. And that's, you know, kudos to you and Joy Cardine and Kathleen Dunn and Larry Mueller and Ben Marins. Just great guests, but great callers. I mean, she said afterwards it was a great interview, and she loved all of the calls. Some of them were a little tougher than others, but she respected all of our listeners for that. So if there was ever an hour to call, this would be the one. Not only do we have that challenge grant when we meet our $9,000 goal, we also have that tremendous offering by Madeleine Albright to sign each copy of her book for that $500 pledge. So call now, 800-383-9772, or you can log on and put in the comment field that you would like that signed copy for a pledge of $500 at WPR.org.
That's right. We're looking for $9,000 this hour, and we've got about $5,000 to go. You can help us get there. We do have a challenge grant from some folks who really believe in Wisconsin Public Radio, just like you do. They have issued a challenge challenge grant for $1,000 when we reach that $9,000 goal. So thank you to Barbara and Jim Ballard for that. And thank you to Madeline Albright. If you can't afford $500, maybe you'd like to pledge at the $150 level. And if you do that, not only will you get a member benefit card, 2-for-1 entrees at over 200 restaurants across the state, but you'll also get a copy of Secretary Albright's book, which is really like a crash course in foreign policy. Lots of incredible content there. It kept me up almost all night. I should have been going to bed, but it was really hard to put down. So her book is called Memo to the President-Elect. If you pledge at the $150 level, we'll be happy to send that out to you as well. The important thing to do, though, is to decide to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio, not necessarily for the thank you gifts, they're nice, but because you believe in what we do here on Wisconsin Public Radio, because you listen, because it's important to you, and it's important to us that you call this morning and help us reach our goal. It's quick and it's easy. We're happy to take your call right now at 1-800-383-9772.
Veronica, there's so much going on right now. We're making progress. We're under $5,000 toward this hour's goal. So we'll get there with your decisions to call 800-383-9772. Online at WPR.org. We talked about Madeline Albright's new book at the $150 pledge level. If you'd like it signed by her, she's happy to do that. That's available for a pledge of $500. When we reach this $9,000 goal, we'll get an extra $1,000 thanks to Jim and Barbara Ballard, who are offering us $1,000 when we meet this challenge. So some incentive for you, if you would like the book, if you'd like it signed, if you just want to help us get to this hour's goal and help Wisconsin Public Radio get another $1,000. All of that has to happen in about the next 5 minutes. All of that has to happen with you making that decision to support programs like the one you've been listening to by calling us at 800-383-9772 or pledging online at WPR.org.
There are certainly conversations that happen here every day. Call because you appreciate this type of conversation. If someone asks what you did later today, what you did this morning, and you said, well, you know, I wanted to talk to Secretary of State Madeline Albright about the upcoming election. I got to call in and actually ask her a question. Or I called an environmental ecologist to talk about moving my family up here for the outdoor activities and the cross-country skiing. Those things happen here each and every day. So call now. Make one more call today, 800-383-9772, because you appreciate this type of programming, because you appreciate the conversations that we have each and every day here with Veronica Ruckert and Kathleen Dunn and Joy Cardine. They'll only take a few minutes, and this is the hour to do it with the challenge grant and the book at the $150 level, or if you want to bump it up to that $500 level, Madeline Albright will personally sign a copy to you to thank you for pledging to Wisconsin Public Radio. Only this hour, only a couple minutes left, 800-383-9772.
Yes, that's right. Only less than 5 minutes left to go this hour. We really would love to reach that $9,000 goal because, in essence, Madeline Albright, along with Barbara and Jim Ballard, have taken a leap of faith, and they've really said, we believe in Wisconsin Public Radio this much that we are willing to extend ourselves this way because we believe it, and because we believe that there are enough of you out there who support Wisconsin Public Radio as well, who will rise to the challenge, who will rise up and answer that clarion call and say, yes, I do support Wisconsin Public Radio. I do love it, and this is the right time to call. So we're going for $9,000 this hour, and why don't you help support their belief of faith? Why don't you reach out your arms and catch them by calling us and becoming a supporter of Wisconsin Public Radio this hour at 1-800-383-9772.
800-383-9772, the number to call, online at WPR.org. Heard from so many people this morning. 17 of you have called this hour. People like Diane and Appleton, who wants a copy of Madeline's book, Madeline Albright's book. She said she had the opportunity to hear her in Green Bay a couple of years ago and finds her very inspiring. And if this is the kind of radio that inspires you to maybe take action in your own communities, or maybe has helped you decide how to vote in state or national elections, or just made you think about the world in a way that maybe you hadn't thought about before, that is why you keep listening, I think, but it's also why you should become a member or renew your pledge of support, because it's your dollars that make all of this happen. We can't do it without you, so we ask you to do your part now at 800-383-9772 or online at WPR.org.
There's no better hour to call than this one to say thank you to everyone who goes into putting together this program at Wisconsin Public Radio, and to say thank you to Madeline Albright. I want boxes of books showing up on her doorstep and her spending hours autographing them for the listeners of Wisconsin Public Radio, because the next time, you know, she has a book, it's going to make it that much, you know, her more eager to be on the airwaves and spend even longer with us next time. So please call now and pledge your support at 800-383-9772, or you can log on to WPR.org. It only takes a few minutes, and there's only a few minutes left to do that.
That's right. Just a few minutes left to go in this hour. We're still looking for over $3,000. Maybe you could afford to make a $1,000 pledge, and you'd like to give those books signed
That's
by Madeline Albright to as a gift, perhaps.
Keep one, give one.
That's right. Keep one and give one. Or give both, Michael. Maybe you've got a child or a grandchild, and you'd like to pass that on. Maybe Madeline Albright says something about the way you think about the world or challenged you in the way that you think about the world, and you'd like to give that gift to someone else. Maybe a pledge at the $1,000 level, a $500 level would fit the bill for you. We'd be very grateful this hour, of course, because we're looking to reach our $9,000 goal to make the most out of that, the generosity of Secretary Madeline Albright, as well as Jim and Barbara Ballard. So this is the time to get your call in. A couple minutes to go at 1-800-383-9772.
800-383-9772. You can call through the news if you like and still count toward this hour, but the important thing is that you make that decision to support this public radio station. 800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
1-800-383-9772 is the number to call, or you can pledge online at WPR.org. A pledge of $150, we'd be happy to give you Secretary Albright's book, Memo to the President-elect, along with our member benefit card, and say thank you. And we do thank you for all of the 19 calls that have come in so far, and we hope there'll be many more to push us over that $3,000 that we need to reach the $9,000 goal. Rhonda and Michael, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
I'm Veronica Rickert, in today for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.